Well, we're joined now in studio by the Minister for Jobs, Enterprise and Innovation, Richard Bruton. Minister, we'll get to the budget in a moment, but you've heard John Burke outlining how the bonus scheme at Irish Water works. I'm sure there's a lot of people listening who'd much rather be working for Irish Water than having to deal with them if you get a bonus, even if you need improvement.
Yeah, well, of course, government does not control the pay model that applies in a commercial body below the directors and the CEO. And bonuses certainly haven't been earned at this point and haven't been paid indeed at this point. And I think we also have the assurance that the regulator has indicated very clearly that over the next 3 years, he will not be providing any support for unjustified bonuses in the price system. Far from it, he is insisting that they cut their costs by 8.2% over the coming years.
But given the structure, as John Burke has outlined it there, does it not suggest that those bonuses will be paid and you know, you might conceivably see the money coming out of the funds required to provide the essential service?
Well, we've obviously made a decision to set up Irish Water on a commercial basis because it's really important for the country to support job creation that we have a good system. It needs investment, it needs management. And that system that we've been put in place is a commercial state body. Now, what goes with that space is that they have freedom about the pay model they apply, and that is a freedom that's given to them, but on condition that they eliminate leaks, that they eliminate spoiled water notices, that they cut their costs, that they deliver improvement. So there is a freedom given to a commercial body to set its model, but they have to be accountable and perform against very clear targets. And we know that in cost terms, there's no question of any unjustified costs being passed on to users because users have been given a guarantee on that price for the next 3 years. And also, the regulator has insisted that Irish Water take cost out, not increase cost over the coming years.
It needs management. You said you also mentioned the word accountable there. Two Sunday newspapers today are telling us, one, the Sunday Business Post tells us the government is planning a heave against the management of Irish Water. The Sunday Independent says no fewer than six cabinet ministers have questioned the performance of the chief executive, John Tierney, and are effectively calling for his head. Are you one of those?
Look, I'm a long time around in politics, and I've never seen a new charge being introduced that didn't result in a very critical focus on communications, on implementation, and indeed a lot of misinformation given by opponents to charges of this nature. So yes, there are difficulties. Everyone sees there are difficulties in managing this, and you know the board and the CEO have to be held accountable.
And will they be held accountable then, as those stories suggest? And are you one of the ministers who is suggesting that John Tierney should go?
No, I'm saying that this is a difficult process. I think there's a lot of management to be done. There are certainly mistakes have been made. There's certainly room for improvement. There will be scrutiny of performance, and that's what we expect from a professional body that we're putting in place. But I'm also
also
making the point though that this is difficult. No one is pretending that it's easy for people to have to shoulder a new charge. This is difficult for people, but I think most people understand why this is being done. We need a professional water system. Water is charged for in every country in the world. We need to invest in it because it's suffered from years of underinvestment. So I think people understand why this is being done and why this is better than a tax on work and enterprise, which is the alternative to this. So people understand why we're doing this. It's part of a planned approach to grow our economy stronger and produce more jobs.
Do we take from that then that you and Cabinet are happy for the current board and management to continue to try and reform the service as it is to date, or would you be calling for them to go?
Every board and management is continuously under scrutiny, particularly now at a time when we're trying to deliver enhanced performance in every way. So no government minister would give carte blanche to anyone. Everyone will be under scrutiny, and performance is going to be vital in this area, and people will be held accountable for that.
Moving on to the budget, although under the heading, if you like, of Irish Water, will Thursday's finance bill address the issue of those people who either don't qualify for the tax relief on the water charges and aren't in a position to benefit from the subsidy because they aren't on one of either the household benefits package or the fuel allowance?
Well, I think both Brendan Howland and Michael Lunan have indicated that they're going to examine this. Now, whether that can be delivered by way of the finance bill or not is something that they will have to evaluate. There is a problem, where a person is below the income tax threshold, a tax credit isn't available to them, and if they're not in some of the eligible categories in the various welfare schemes, which cover 650,000 families, they may not be caught either. So, the ministers have indicated that they're going to look at this.
But perhaps it might not be possible to do it as soon as Thursday.
I think that may be possible that it has to be some other vehicle, but you know, I haven't been privy to the detailed analysis.
Now, Brendan Howland said it was a significant day on Tuesday. He said it marked the end of the era of budgetary austerity. Given what we've seen over the past couple of days, the market turmoil, the investor concern about global growth in general and growth in Europe in particular, was it a little bit too early to call the end and to ignore the advice of the Fiscal Advisory Council, the IMF, the OECD and the European Commission, who all would like to have seen more progress made on reducing the national debt?
No, I believe we've struck the right balance here. I mean, we have to embed our recovery. We've seen very significant progress made, but we also must be conscious that the sacrifices people made are not squandered. So if you look at the detail of what we've done, we are reducing our borrowing by one quarter this year. That's a very significant reduction. You know, the economy is generating more tax revenue, but we're only giving back less than a quarter of that to people. So we are being very prudent. We are bringing down our borrowing. We'll be comfortably within the EU levels. And we're taking the opportunity to repair some of the damage that has been done, make investments in prudent areas to embed our recovery. I mean, people must recollect, you know, we are pursuing a consistent plan, both with the budgetary approach and the action plan for jobs. It's delivered 70,000 jobs so far. Michael Noonan has new measures to stimulate enterprise, and we need to follow that road in a very consistent way.
The double Irish tax loophole has been abolished. Will there be any short-term impact from that in terms of jobs? And have you spoken to either the IDA or to the chief executives of some of the bigger multinationals here, seeking their assurances that there won't be an immediate impact?
I believe that this move will put Ireland in a very competitive position for the future. In the post-BEPS world, we will be much more competitive. We'll have a quality knowledge box. We'll have absolute certainty around our 12.5% rate. We will have new instruments to bring in more research and development, bring more talent into this country. So I see this will enhance the flow of foreign investment over time. Clearly, investors will want to see the full detail of it. But initially, we've had a lot of talks with our investors. They welcome the certainty it's giving them. They welcome the competitive edge that the minister said he's going to be best in class in terms of the competitive offering. That is welcome to people. And people who have been using these residency structures, they have over 6 years, a long lead time for them to adjust. Those give people certainty in planning big investments, and those are investments we seek to win.
And finally, Minister, and we're tight on time here, unfortunately, but why did the budget discriminate against the self-employed? You're the Minister for Enterprise. Surely they deserve better than an 11% a hike in the USC that puts them 3 points worse off in terms of effective tax rates than any other body.
It did not discriminate against the self-employed. The self-employed got all of the benefits of the lower USC, the two cuts in the USC, the extension of the 41% band, the lift of the point at which it's reached. The self-employed gained from all of that. And in addition to that, we've put in new incentives for start-up businesses, for businesses to grow, and we have put 1 billion back into the economy. So if self-employed, instead of facing an economy that would have been under pressure through public finance impositions, it's actually an economy that is in a confident mood, supported by a prudent budget.
Minister Richard Bruton, thanks very much for coming into us this afternoon.
Thank you.